Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Creation of the Universal Form, text number 7. Savai Vishva Shujam Gabho
Savai Vishva Shujam Gabho
Devakam Atma Shaktiman
Devakam Atma Shaktiman
Vibhavha Japana Atmanam Ekada Dashada Tridha
Ekada Dashada Tridha
Savai
Saha
That
By
Certainly Vishva
Shujam
of the gigantic Virat form. Gavaha, total energy. Deva, living energy. Kama,
activity of life.
Atma, self. Shaktiman,
full with potencies.
Vibhavaja,
divided.
Atmana,
by himself.
Atmanam,
himself.
Ekada,
in oneness.
Dashada,
in ten.
Tridha,
and in three.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The total energy of the Mahatapa, in the form of the gigantic Virat Rupa, divided himself by himself into the consciousness of the living entities, the life of activity, and self-identification, which are subdivided into 1, 10, and 3, respectively. Translation responsibly. The total energy of the Mahatapa, in the form of the gigantic Virat Rupa,
divided himself by himself
into the consciousness of the living entities,
the life of activity,
and self-identification,
which are subdivided
into 1, 10, and 3 respectively. Purport. Consciousness is the sign of the living entity, or the soul. The existence of the soul is manifest in the form of consciousness, called Jnana Shakti. The total consciousness is that of the gigantic Virat Rupa, and the same consciousness is exhibited in individual persons. The activity of consciousness is performed through the air of life, which is of 10 divisions. The airs of life are called Prana, Apana, Udana, Dhyana, and Samana, and are also differently qualified as Naga, Kama, Krikara, Devadatta, and Dhananjaya. The consciousness of the soul becomes polluted by the material atmosphere, and thus various activities are exhibited in the false ego of bodily identification. These various activities are described in Bhagavad Gita 2.41 as Bahushaka Hyanantascha Hudhayo Vyavasayinam. The conditioned soul is bewildered into various activities for want of pure consciousness. In pure consciousness, the activity is one. The consciousness of the individual soul becomes one with the Supreme Consciousness when there is complete synthesis between the two. The monist believes that there is only one consciousness, whereas the sāpatas, or the devotees, believe that although there is undoubtedly one consciousness, they are one because there is agreement. The individual consciousness is advised to dovetail with the Supreme Consciousness, as instructed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarvadharman Purityaja Mamakam Sharanam Vraja. The individual consciousness, Arjuna, is advised to dovetail with the Supreme Consciousness and thus maintain his conscious purity. It is foolish to stop the activities of consciousness, but they can be purified when they are dovetailed with the Supreme. This consciousness is divided into three modes of self-identification according to the proportion of purity. Adhyatmika, or self-identification with the body and mind. Adivautika, or self-identification with the material products. And Adidaivika, or self-identification as a servant of the Lord. Of the three, Adidaivika, self-identification, is the beginning of purity of consciousness in pursuance of the desire of the Lord. Verse again. The total energy of the Mahatapa, in the form of the gigantic Virat Rupa, divided himself by himself into the consciousness of the living entities, the life of activity and self-identification, which are subdivided into 1, 10 and 3 respectively. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Dasaraya Bhutale Shumati Gladananda Swami Nityanamane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Dasaraya Bhutale Shumati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Hare Krishna. So, today's verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. As chapter's entitled, Creation of the Universal Form. Within each universe, Lord Vishnu expanded himself from the Mahavishnu as the Gaurakshaya Vishnu. So this is happening in every universe. And today we're hearing maybe a somewhat technical description of what happens when that Virat Rupa divides himself into differently manifested. So as it says, these subdivisions are correlating, the living entities are subdivided into, or the consciousness of the living entities is one, the life of activity subdivided into 10, and self-identification is subdivided into 3. So, when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam, just reading this description, we can ask ourselves, okay, what are these subdivisions? And we may think, all right, 10, there is 10 senses, 10 5 knowledge acquiring senses and 5 waking senses. So maybe these the subdivisions of the life of activity are referring to the 10 senses. Or maybe the 3 subdivisions of self-identification have something to do with the 3 modes of material nature. But we cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam like that, with our own speculation and guessing, because our senses are limited and imperfect. So what we find that the pure devotees, because they're in oneness with the super soul, practically, that they actually can be said to be have perfect senses. So therefore the explanations given by the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada in their commentaries and Prabhupada's purports can be considered perfect knowledge. And therefore, all these technical aspects, as well as all of our other philosophy, we understand through Prabhupada's explanations and not by our mental, you know, thoughts. So Prabhupada gives us the explanation of these different subdivisions in the purport, and it's not to do with the 10 senses or the 3 modes of material nature. It's something different. I was reading this verse last night and just tried to quickly jot down a few notes. So the first point in the purport that Prabhupada mentions is the existence of the soul is manifest in the form of consciousness called Jnana Shakti. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that as a quote found. Krishna has unlimited potencies, out of which 3 are chief: willpower, the power of knowledge, and the creative energy, known as Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. So the the consciousness of the individual living entity is actually just an expansion of the consciousness of Krishna. You have the Bibhinamsa and the Samsa expansions of Krishna. So, I was also reading toward the end of Bhagavad Gita last night that Bhagavad Gita describes five topics, and it may seem superficially that these are all different aspects. We have the Lord and the living entities, material nature, time, karma, but actually they're all the Supreme, they're all Krishna. But Krishna himself is also different, so this is the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference. So the consciousness of the living entity is actually just expanded from Krishna, from Krishna's consciousness. Prabhupada goes on to say that the activity of consciousness is performed through the air of life, which is of 10 divisions. So this is also described in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, that the spirit soul situated in the heart is trapped in the airs of life. There's 5 major and 5 minor airs of life, making 10. Kana, Apana, Udana, Dhyana, and Samana. One goes upward, one goes downward. And they have different functions in the body. But the spirit soul is within, encaged by these material airs. And the practice of at least mystic yoga is to liberate the spirit soul from these material airs. As Prabhupada writes, that the consciousness of the soul becomes polluted by the material atmosphere, and thus various activities are exhibited in the false ego of bodily identification. In quotes 241 of Bhagavad Gita, Bahu Shakya Kyanantascha. So many branched, the activities of the conditioned soul in material existence are just so various, Bahu Shakya, many branched. And in chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita, the material world is described as a upside down banyan tree. And all the branches, the leaves and the twigs are the fruit of activities, the living entity. But then Krishna advises us to cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. So, for ourselves, we're not free from this bahu shaka, this various activities in the form of material desires. So, desires that take us away from Krishna consciousness or aren't related to pleasing Krishna. So, Krishna gives us a solution in Bhagavad Gita that asanga, what's the word? A weapon of detachment. Asanga shastra. Yeah, the weapon of detachment. So we don't identify with the mind's desires. So Gurudev often explains we don't. There's so many thoughts going through the mind, so many desires, but actually, it's not that we have to, like jumping in the water with a crocodile and wrestle with these desires and wrestle with our thoughts and try to get free from them that way. But actually, just this is understand that this is the nature of the mind to produce so many, mental concoctions. But just be the witness and be aloof from these desires, and they will just flow past. Another example is given that if you're in a bush or the jungle and there's a snake, if you try to run away from the snake, it will chase after you and bite you. And if you try to attack the snake or move toward the snake, it will also bite you. But if you just stand still and you know, Shanti, it's okay. The snake will go away. So the same, similar thing with our mind, that we're just trying to hear ourselves chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and we don't have, you know, we don't involve ourselves with the mind and its desires and thoughts. The only activity when we're chanting Hare Krishna is to hear ourselves chant, hear the soul, ask Krishna for service. Chanting Hare Krishna is an expression of our desire. So we have to see it in that way. That's not just a, you know, mundane, you know, mechanical mantra meditation, but actually we're expressing a desire to serve Krishna by being his instrument. And to fulfill Krishna's desires instead of fulfilling our own desires. This is the, you know, the activity in the material world, that we have so many activities, or the non-devotees have so many activities just to satisfy their own desires. And so as devotees, we're trying to fulfill the desires of Krishna, and then we'll be attain, feel, experience pleasure. So then we can wonder, what are Krishna's desires? Like, isn't God self-satisfied? He doesn't require anything. He's, you know, fully self-satisfied in the spiritual world. He has all these unlimited devotees there. Why does he, you know, what more could he want? But actually, there's so many, every living entity is Krishna's part and parcel, and some of them happen to be in the material world, so Krishna doesn't want them to be. Krishna wants every living entity to be with him in the spiritual world. So that is Lord Chaitanya's mission. So that is his desire, that all the living entities come back to the spiritual world. So therefore our desire to dovetail ourselves with Krishna is to dovetail ourselves with the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, this is the desire that we try to express when we're chanting Hare Krishna. Please engage me in the mission of Mahaprabhu, and which was carried by Srila Prabhupada. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness, we're trying to intensify that desire. We first come in contact with devotees or with one of Prabhupada's books. So then we have some desire to learn about spiritual knowledge. And then in the association of devotees, our desire for spiritual life and desire to please Krishna just increases. And that is the real importance of the association of devotees, and hearing from devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. It's not so advantageous to our spiritual life to only associate with devotees who are on the same level as us. We should seek out association of devotees who are more advanced than us and hear from them. So this desire to become advanced in spiritual life is not a, you know, like a selfish desire, like, oh, I will become so advanced and, you know, for, you know, people will respect me, or, but actually the desire to become more pure in our desires to please Krishna, that is for Krishna's pleasure, because to be an instrument of Krishna, we want to be a better instrument of Krishna. So therefore the desire to become more advanced in Krishna consciousness goes with the desire to please Krishna, because a better instrument of Krishna, we can give more pleasure to Krishna by becoming more advanced and pure in our devotional service. So the non-devotees have many activities for sense gratification, and Prabhupada says that in pure consciousness the activity is one. So the pure devotee their only activity is to please Krishna. And although they are engaged in many, many activities, it might seem like the devotee is, you know, engaged in so many activities, but they're not for themselves. We've got some water on it. So Krishna describes this in chapter 18, that he says, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. So it's not that the devotee is just sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. They can. They're that pure. But they also want to please Krishna by helping others to come to Krishna consciousness. So therefore they have so many engagements. They're engaging others in Krishna consciousness, and they themselves are acting in so many ways. But this is not the Bhavushaka of the materialist. This is that activity is one. Non-devotees, actually, they don't know, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, actually. They're driven by the uncontrolled senses. You know, in the mode of passion, the senses are uncontrolled and there's unlimited desires. And so just the non-devotees are carried by these material desires with no intelligence. But the devotee, as that verse says in Bhagavad Gita, their intelligence is fixed on pleasing Krishna. So they can't be shaken or disturbed from their conviction. And the method for doing this, because ourselves we can't just at the moment, of course we do have material desires which we can't, you know, our consciousness is not yet pure, so, but therefore there is a process given here to purify our desires, and that's dovetailing, this principle of dovetailing our consciousness. So we have maybe material desires, but we somehow try to link them to Krishna, and that's done not on our own accord, but according to the direction and guidance of our spiritual authorities. You know, I've heard the example of one devotee, they used to be a boxer or something, so they took it upon themselves to dovetail their propensity for boxing in, you know, protecting the devotees and, you know, maybe punch someone or something. But actually we have to understand, okay, what are my propensities, and ask the devotees for guidance how that propensity, material propensity, can be engaged in Krishna's service. And then when it gets linked up with Krishna, when our desires are linked to Krishna, then they become purified. And we understand that just acting for Krishna's pleasure is much more satisfying than just trying to fulfill my own desires. As it says, it's foolish to try to stop the activities of Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita describes that the soul is always active. There's no question of inactivity. But we just have to use our intelligence how to fully engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada lastly describes that the self-identification described in this verse is divided into three. Identifying with the body and the mind, adhyatmika, identifying with the material products, adibhautika, and identifying as a servant of the Lord, adidaivika. Then he says that is the beginning of purity of consciousness in pursuance of the desire of the Lord. So we're speaking about fulfilling the Lord's desires. So this consciousness of being a servant of the Lord has to be there in order to fulfill the desires of Krishna. To see ourselves just as a servant of Krishna, and Krishna is our master. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that the servant has no independence of their own, practically. They just carry out the order of the master. Also in the association of devotees, we have to cultivate this consciousness of being a servant. Because we can't hear instructions without having a submissive attitude. Of course, at least one person, our spiritual master, we should be most submissive to. But also, all the other devotees, we have to put aside whatever envy and so on we have, just so that we can hear their instructions, which are because it's Krishna's message coming through different devotees. So whatever we may think about a devotee, we have to put aside so that we can hear Krishna's instructions and have a submissive attitude. And this will help us to advance, because if we're not hearing, then we won't advance in Krishna consciousness. The pure consciousness that we're trying to attain, as we know, is developed by regular hearing and chanting, which cleanses the consciousness of all our material desires. This also has to be done with some intention that, we want to become purified and become Krishna's instrument. Therefore, asking Krishna when we're chanting to remove these impurities in our consciousness. So you want to transcendental happiness is attainable. When we try to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Prabhupada writes that Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. So this is one of Arjuna's arguments in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that he addressed Krishna as Govinda because he wanted Krishna to satisfy his own senses. His desire was to not engage in the fight. That was his own desire. So therefore he was calling Krishna Govinda. You give pleasure to the senses. So he wanted Krishna to give pleasure to his own senses. So Prabhupada writes there that Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. We're meant for satisfying Krishna's senses. therefore, we have to have this consciousness when we're chanting, not that we're just chanting mechanically, but actually chanting clearly and hearing ourselves call out to Krishna. So this is the these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam describing the universal form, as Gurudev was describing yesterday, help us to have some better perspective of our position and Krishna's position, so that we can, you know, better engage in devotional service by understanding ourselves as servants and Krishna as Supreme Master, far, far beyond what we can, you know, conceive of. So therefore, although it can be quite technical knowledge, we're more interested in understanding the just the incredible potency that Krishna has. There's the word here, Shaktiman, full with potencies. So we see in our daily lives, and especially, I mean, my main service is cooking, so especially in a service like that, you see how much potencies there are in all the different, you know, bhoga. There's, you know, the different varieties of fruits and colours and textures and the spices and the smell. And so all of these are different potencies coming from Krishna. So the more we understand Krishna's greatness in his, you know, as displayed in the, as manifested in the material world, then the more we're able to surrender to him and serve him as a master, as a serve him and his representative as menial servants. So I'll stop there, see if there's any comments or questions. Yes, anyone?
You mentioned that we should dovetail our desires, or proper mental, we should dovetail our desires in the service of Krishna. But, and you said that devotees, you know, acquire knowledge in order to please Krishna, to make advancement. Sometimes devotees want to become learned just to show off that they're learned. So whilst Prabhupada encouraged us to use our senses in the service of the Lord, and our desires in the sense of in the service of the Lord, ultimately he encourages us actually to become a good devotee, where our desires are, you know, not for what we'd like to do, how we might become advanced and people will recognize me. So, you know, Prabhupada's encouraging us at a certain level to engage our desires in serving Krishna, but ultimately there's a higher level of just doing the service without any personal So how do we go from, you know, I've got to do this for Krishna, to Krishna, what do you want me to do?
Krishna, what do you want me to do? Yeah, that's that's the process of dovetailing. You know, the more advanced devotees, you know, can see if someone is very attached to acting in a certain way, say, all right, you know, you're an actor or you're a musician, so, and maybe they're attached to that idea of themselves, so that's what they do. So advanced devotees engage them in that service for Krishna. And just being engaged in service to Krishna, you know, purifies us. And also they have to have the desire to you know, understand Krishna. Not that they just want to, you know, do that service to become, you know, well recognized or something. But the desire to advance in spiritual life also has to be there. And then Krishna is in the heart, so he's doing everything. When he sees the sincere desire of someone to engage in his service, then he can help them to understand that just engaging in his service for his pleasure is where the real satisfaction is. So they can continue to do what they were doing before, whatever service, but their consciousness changes. Krishna purifies their consciousness that, you know, they were doing it before, kind of like karma yoga, like offering the fruits of their activities to Krishna. But then it changes, you know, changes to more pure bhakti yoga, just doing that activity for Krishna's pleasure, although it's the same activity. So, you know, we can be acting on the level of karma yoga, it just depends on our consciousness, but we want to be acting on the level of pure bhakti. And just engaging in the service doesn't mean we're doing bhakti. If we're attached to, you know, the fruits of the activities, then it's actually mixed with karma. So, but if they, you know, devotees engage their activities for, you know, for Krishna, then yeah, he purifies them over time, gradually. Yes, sir. He's saying, like I mentioned in class, we shouldn't just only associate with devotees on the same level as us, but try to hear from more advanced devotees.
Well, that's why a guru or gurus, they teach us, and also they might tell us, you're just studying just to show off. Go and do some service.
Yeah.
As an example.
Yeah.
You know, because there's anatta nivritti, different stages of devotional service. And so we associate with the devotees, but we take advantage of that association by finding out where our anattas are. And then we work with them and serve them as the devotees. So there's a process. And one of the items of that process is submission. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, devotees on a same level as us, or won't necessarily point out our faults. Some more advanced devotee can, you know. Devotee on the same level, yeah, maybe it's not even their, you know, I guess role to give us instruction, but more advanced devotee, that's their duty to give instruction.
If he's on the same level but gives us good instructions, then that makes it more advanced, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, friends can help each other. You know, you tell your friends, that's a pretty stupid thing to do, isn't it? Or did you think about this? Ooh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, that's I think the real level, the real meaning of friendship, not just we're buddies, we do material activities together, but actually help each other, Krishna consciousness.
Because I've talked about this with Mucha Kundi. You know, sometimes the devotees will just praise each other. And you know, he hasn't got any of those qualifications. So it's just alive.
Yeah, that's not helping them.
People who praise you are your enemy. And certainly if they're praising you and you don't have those qualities, that's actually they're insulting you. Because somebody says, you're all such a wonderful, you don't have any of those qualities, that's just an insult.
Yes. Devotee's mentality is not to, you know, find fault, to, not to
blaspheme the devotee,
because they have some envy toward the devotee. They actually, they're the well-wisher of the devotee, so their mood in, you know, correcting a fault is to help them, and glorifying the devotees shouldn't just be sentimental, like. Shouldn't just be sentimental.
What did the devotees say? We were in the class, the disciples' course, they told me one slide. It's Ati, Ati Saravatra Vajrayat. What's that mean? Too much of anything is not good. So, especially praise of others when it's not warranted. Is just stupid, foolish. It's not.
I guess we encourage the devotees to you're doing well, keep going, and it's maybe slightly different to glorification.
You know, it's an interesting point because we're supposed to become pure devotees. So if we're always being encouraged, just do what you like,
Yeah, we have to.
So the spiritual masters are able to see, or the, you know, the devotees who are assisting us, they're able to see what we can do that will actually, you know, they'll engage us in such a way so that that will gradually be purified. And Krishna will engage us. An example is. In the 80s, we used to do a collection, selling paintings or whatever. And because there weren't nobody was saying, Jai 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 Guru. So, you know, we have to be prepared to serve without people saying, you know, Jai Jai Jai, or, you know, you get this or you get that or you get another thing. And sometimes be satisfied just with the service itself. And that's not so easy. That's hard. That's very hard. There's nobody saying, oh, you're such a wonderful devotee.
Sassy fruits.
Just
yeah.
They just throw in more dirty pots. Nobody's appreciating them.
Pratishta, subtle fruits, bhakti. You had a question, Bruce?
Just to that, I agree with
All these things we come with experience, I guess. That's experienced devotees, they learn all these things and how to deal with everyone. Yeah.
Well, that was Prabhupada's unique position. You know, he was encouraging the devotees, come on, just chant Hare Krishna. Chant, be happy. Mm. You know, what's the difficulty? And, you know, then, for example, at the Delhi railway station, you know, the devotees were Prabhupada, and he told Jumana and Gurudas and Bhana, dust in, okay, I want you to hop out here and play a tickle. Yeah. I tell you that Prabhupada encouraged the devotees because, and we do that, we encourage everybody. Come and serve Krishna, you'll be happy. Chant, be happy. But we know on other occasions Prabhupada says taking to devotional service is like declaring war on Maya. And it's very difficult. And it's very rare to find a pure devotee. You know, so there's levels. Prabhupada was expert. You know, even when he initiated the devotees, he said, oh, yeah, we're all going to get initiated. And then he told them what initiated meant, you know, and they were asking each other, do we really want to do this? So it's a, you know, it's a process.
Thank you. Stop here. Grandraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.